Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, letting us, Father, receive knowledge and wisdom to help us to walk in your word and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're in the first chapter now of 2 Thessalonians. And actually, it's a very short chapter. It's only 12 verses long. So we're going to be in 1 and we'll be getting into 2 also. And I noticed something here that I want to share with you. You know, Paul, he greets just about all of his churches the same way. A lot of us don't understand it, but he does. Seems like each letter. Now here in verse 1 and 2, of Thessalonians 2. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He started his first writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read the first 2 verses of that to you. I want you to see just how close they are. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God. We give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers. You see, they're almost identical. And the meaning is, in fact, even in my teacher's Bible, it tells us that for the discussion of the salutation, which is 1 through 2, see the note on 1 Thessalonians 1:1. For the discussion on this greetings here in 2, he said you to go back to 1 and look at the discussion there. And, you know, but now, 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brother, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. But Paul is commending them here for their faith, because the way they are growing, and evidently from Paul's writing, they are growing and growing very strong, especially in faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And also growing in their love for each other. And this is exactly what we are needing today in our churches. Most churches you go to, you can sit and watch and you'll see that they're not really together. You'll find little groups. This little group will be there and they get along. But they don't get along with another little group that's there in the church. And they'll be maybe in the church 5 or 6 different groups. And they don't really love each other. Now, they may love each other in that one group. How much love have they got and are they using and showing with all of the children of God? And you see, we are to love every one of them and to be there to help anyone that is in need of help. And we are to stand in unity and harmony within the church. But how many are really doing it today? Not many, and that's why we are seeing our churches go down, 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 and down locally. Yes, scattered out across the country, we have a few that have a lot in number, but most of them are not even coming close to preaching the Word of God. They are standing and telling stories. And it's not actually scripture stories. You'll hear very little of the scripture. Very little of God's word. But they're always telling about someone they knew that had this problem or that problem or some other problem that really, and they're not even relating that. And hooking that up good with Scripture. But let's stick to teaching the Word of God. That's what we are called to do. He says, teach this gospel. And we're also told that if we come preaching any other than this, we're cursed. So why do they want to do it? It's mainly because they really don't have the understanding that they need in order to be there teaching the Word of Almighty God. So, you know, pardon that phone. They know better. But you got these that likes to call when they think they can interrupt. All right. Now, we're going to come on down here now to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brother, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounded. You see, he is telling them there in 3 that they are thankful to God because they have grown. Their faith has really grown. As he says here, exceeding. But they also have that godly love for each other. And as he put it, it abounded. And that is what is needed in the church for it to grow, is that love and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Really getting to know him to where and trust is in and on him. Because you see, you and I, to be that child of God, we are to live in him and he in us. Just as the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and he also is to live in us, and we are to walk in the Spirit. Because we are to walk by his guidance and the understanding he gives us of the Word of Almighty God, so that our lives can be what God wants it to be. We can't do that on our own. It takes him. Now, 4. Paul goes on here in 4 and he says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Now, don't you notice something here? Paul is telling them, he says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. That doesn't mean a denomination. That means that they are in the Lord God's church. There's only one church. And that's what our churches need to learn today. You can put whatever name you want in order for people to find you. Nothing wrong with that. But is that church really a church that belongs to the Lord God? Or is it one you have made and made differently and set aside from the others, which is what has happened many, many times down through the years, where now we have so many different denominations and they don't even get along with, they don't get along with each other, because you see, they have not joined the true church. The true church is God's church. It doesn't matter about that name on your church, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, or whatever. It's whether that church belongs to God and His church, which means if it does, then they'll be teaching this word and not making, taking it and twisting and turning to make it say what they want it to say instead of what it says. And if they were all doing that, teaching the Word of God, we wouldn't see as much trouble in our church today as we're seeing. Here, right around me, within just a few minutes' drive of my home, I can take you to 5 churches right now that has fallen to the point that they've lost their congregation and they're down to 4 and 5 people. Think about that. And why? It's because they are not teaching what they should have been teaching and doing the things they should have been doing. Now, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be accounted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You know, that token he's talking about here means literally evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Another translation would be for the righteous. Paul is not saying that their suffering reflects God's judgment, rather that it will be evidence used in judgment against those, and God will righteously repay for the trouble they have caused the righteous. He will repay that to the wicked. And then he talks about being counted worthy. Their suffering does not qualify them for the kingdom. Instead, it is a privilege extended to those who are genuinely members of the kingdom. Now you see, God does not put the tribulations and sickness and stuff that way on us. But sometimes when Satan has put something on us and brought tribulation and trials to us and against us, God will let us go through it for a while in order for us to learn. And I'm one who can tell you that, because he's done that to me many times. I know he didn't bring that tribulation on me. I know that. But I also know that he hadn't taken it away because I was learning things that I needed in order to carry on the work that he had called me to do. And I was learning things that I had never really thought about. And we all do that. Now, 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Righteous thing refers back to the righteous judgment of God that was cited in actually the previous verse there and back. Now, seven. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You know, that rest or relaxation, it is appropriate since Paul is encouraging them to relax and wait for the Lord's return, at which time he will judge all things and all those who afflict his people. And Paul says with us, Paul again uses himself as an example. He too had suffered. We know a lot about Paul's suffering because it is recorded in the book, in the holy book. We know he was stoned, he was beaten, he was jailed, he was mocked and ridiculed, he was shipwrecked, he was on an island, he'd been snake bit. But God took him, took care of him through it all. And he wills you and I, if we are truly his, and if we are walking according to his will and his way and not our own. We need to get out of our own way and walk in accordance with his way and his will. These are things I want you to really know and to understand. Now, 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the flaming fire, the manifestation of the Son of Man employs this same apostolic imagery. Paul employs no in a sense similar to the Hebrew. In this context, it signifies being intimately acquainted with and standing in a close relationship to God. And thus it means more than just knowing someone. It means that we are there doing for him those things he has asked of us to do. And this word is full of things that God is telling you and I to do while we are here in this life, in this world, about going forth, sharing and spreading this gospel to everyone we can, so that God's fruit will grow. And that is getting others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't make them accept, but we are responsible for getting the word out and being there with any help that we can possibly give and be. If it's material things and we can help, then we need to do so. If it's spiritual things, we need to be there and help all we can that way. But in order for you and I to be helped, and especially with things of the gospel, is we need that study. We need this study, just like we are doing. We need this. A lot of people think, no, we don't need it. You don't need to be in it every day. You don't need all this study. Yes, you do. And there'll be a day and a time you're going to step out of this life and into the next. And you're going to find out just how much you did need it, and then it's going to be too late. And you're going to find yourself making hell your home instead of heaven. Now, man, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Everlasting destruction is not annihilation. It is a conscious, contentious expulsion from the presence of God. That is from the place of blessing. Think about that. From the place of blessing. Now, 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In that day. That is the day of his revelation and the second coming. He's talking about God's second coming here, but there is a lot to happen in between. We have what we refer to today as the rapture. The Bible in several places calls it the catching away, or meeting him in the air. But it's when he comes for the church. He's not coming all the way back to the earth. He's going to be coming on a cloud and calling his people out. And they will leave this earth. Their bodies will change in the twinkle of an eye. This old fleshly body will be gone. They will be in that new heavenly body, and they'll go to meet him in the air. And as the word says, that will all, when he calls, will all happen in the twinkle of an eye. That's fast. Now, 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with our. You see, we need God's blessing. We need to walk in obedience, so that when he does call us, he finds us worthy to come home, to make heaven our home, and for us to come home and spend eternity with him. Think about these things. No. And he gives us the faith, the trust, and the power to be able to do these things and to be what he wants us to be. We're not left on our own. Always there with us. 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way he ends chapter 1. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified wherein you. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They want you. They love you. They want you to be part of them. They want you living in them and them in you. As they're telling you right here. But you see, you had the choice to choose which way you're going to walk. And I do pray. I pray that everyone listening to me this day is walking in the grace of Almighty God and walking stronger each and every day. And we'll get more and more and more involved in this world. And join with us for more study. And may the love of God be with you all through this day. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we have come to the end now of chapter 1, we have closed your word, Father. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we are thankful that you love us. You loved us, Father, when we were not worthy of being loved. And Father, you've given so much to us and added to our lives. We are thankful, Father, for all these things. We give you praise and all the honor and all the glory, because it's all yours. Now, Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem. I pray, Father, for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, I pray that they all will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day, and we know it will, Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. This land of ours, Father, there was a land that has been so richly blessed by you, turned its back and walked away. Father, my prayer is that those that are sitting in our government high places and high places in a lot of our churches that have brought this evil upon this land and this people be removed from office and replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people, and that loves this land and will work with us to help to bring our government and this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, I pray for all that listens to this study and joins in with us. I pray that they'll walk through this day in health, in safety. And Father, bring them back again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. Father, I'm asking all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day.